Oh my. I watch all these young people bouncing around up here. And I see Mike and Tom come up and bounce and miss the top step, you know, because they got legs that work. It's great to hear people singing like that. All ages, all groups. Again, I said this last time I was up here, but thank you to all the people who provide the music for this service, for early service. It really touches people. It's great. So thank you all. Now, thank them, yes. I'm not quite sure exactly where we'd go with this, because I know the first service I had a couple people come and say, "We're praying for you," and this, I'm saying, is it that bad? You know. So did somebody say yes out there? We'll get there, I think. First, though, as we start this morning, let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for bringing us here, for the music and the word that we've already shared, for your word that we will share. We pray that you're going to touch our lives in a way that is so special and so maybe different, something we don't understand or don't expect. Lord, we want to meet you, to know you more and more and more every day. So here we are, Lord. Help us, guide us, fill us. And as I begin to share, I'm going to pray in the old words. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength, my Lord, my Redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, we're looking here at John chapter 14. One of the verses that we want to start with is John 14, 18, and it reads just like this. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. And just a little aside to make that, I will not leave you as orphans is sometimes translated, I will not abandon you. So think about that for a minute. Here we are, Jesus talking to the disciples. He has spent some time in helping them try to understand that he is leaving and what all that means. We spoke of reassurance in our last time together in John 14. We saw a theme emerge, a theme of trust and a theme of presence, Jesus' presence in our lives. But as we continue here in John 14, it appears that the disciples need more because Jesus is keeping on reassuring them over and over again. The theme is one that we need to remember all the time throughout our lives, and it's one that I've tied with the Lord's Supper of remembering not just Jesus, but what he did. Don't make it just a time and forget. Remember it. We need to remember his life, his ministry, his death, his resurrection. So today we're going to look at the same basic theme, but from another section of John 14, and a different perspective, a perspective of what? What are we to remember? How are we to remember it? Why are we to remember? And what all of these things might mean for us, for you and I here and now at this moment. John 14 starts out, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. And immediately from the disciples, it would go, he's going away! We'll be alone. We'll be like orphans. It got your attention, didn't it? But see, that's the kind of thing, that's the kind of reaction that those disciples probably got. They'd been spending the last 3 years bonding, learning this guy who was something special. And now he says to them, I'm going away. And they can't follow where he's going. He's been trying to explain why, but they're not understanding it well. They are kind of overwhelmed by all the circumstances, the good and the bad things that are happening. Think of what Jesus is trying to reassure them, and maybe reassure us too. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Now, a little aside here, just to start for a minute, that this message is not about specific words. It's not about particular theological systems or constructions. It's not about a verse-by-verse expository presentation of the message. But what it is about is some of the implications of what we're saying and what Jesus is saying to the disciples for our lives here and now. Some of the things that we remember as we live our Christian lives and as we are reminded of him, his life, his ministry, his death, his resurrection, and what that could mean, should mean for us. Now let's make this just a little bit more personal. I got some response first service. It's a challenge, guys. This is an audience participation time. Don't run. You're not going to have to say anything, okay? Just think of this, which I am telling you, and then I want you to respond. We all feel abandoned or lost or let down at some time. How many of you out there can relate to that? For those of you who can't, I want to talk to you, find out how you avoided that all this time here. You know, it's something that happens in our lives one time or another. Someone dies, a spouse, a sibling, a best friend. They go out of your lives, and suddenly there's a void. You feel left alone. Our job disappears. And something upon which we based all of our life's security and stability goes away. It's not there anymore. What do we do? Our best friend in life and in work moves across the country. And suddenly the time that we spent sharing and just hanging out together, it's gone. It's empty. You know that feeling? Most of us do it one time or another. But Jesus says, I will not leave you as orphans. Despite all the things that can go wrong, despite all the things that seem to go wrong, he does not. He will not. He has assured the disciples and us of this. He will not leave us abandoned. But this is an idea that new, or especially non-Christians, really struggle with. They really need to examine it. And a question for you, for all that we say this morning and for all of your life, how can we help? Those of us who know the Lord, those of us who can trust him that he is not going away, how can we help others to understand that? Now, Jesus says in the scriptures, he's going to the Father. But when he says something like that, again, what reverberates in the minds of the disciples is probably, he's going away. But Jesus says to them and to us through John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3, which is what we read last time. First in that whole section, he says, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God or trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. Remember, he told the disciples about trust, about presence, and that's preserved in God's word for us. Now, a large number of commentators feel that the assurances for this passage that we're talking about in John 14 now are for the period between Jesus' death, and that's what we're talking about, his going away, and his resurrection and his second coming. And in case you haven't noticed, this is where we live, in that period. So while we live in this time, this in-between, think about what we need to remember to reassure us, to strengthen us in our lives, and what we need to remember so that we can pass it on to other people, so we can reassure them and help them to grow strong in the knowledge that they can have someone to rely on. The reassurance here continues in John 14, verse 16. Jesus says, he will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you, even the Spirit of truth. Now, when Jesus here says another helper, the translation of that word is, you spread it out, it means another of the same kind. So we have God the Father, we have Jesus, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one and the same. But those people who should truly be the center of the disciples' lives and of ours, what gives us the reassurance that we will not be abandoned? Well, we say that God has said it. We believe it. We accept God's word as truth. And for those of us who have seen this truth in action, just maybe it wouldn't hurt to say so to somebody else. And let me give you a little hint. Say it loud enough that they can hear it. It will make a huge difference. I can testify to that myself. For those of you who don't know me, my first wife was killed when I was 27. I've had a business dissolved out from under me. I had a stroke about 7 years ago, which was a really tough thing for me because I like to go and talk, as you may have noticed. But you can share that with people. All of you have had things in your life where you see, because in all of that stuff that happened to me, I can tell you and testify right now to you that God is there. He didn't go away just because I didn't feel good or just because I couldn't do whatever. And you, all of you out there, all of you sitting here today, you have something that you can share with somebody else. Will it help them to understand that God is, will be there? So put God at the center of your life. Even when things look dark, even when it seems like your security, your stability, all that stuff goes away, make God the center because he won't go away. John chapter 14, verses 19 through 21. We're not focusing on this, but I still want to read it for you because there's something that's very important in here. Verse 19, we start, "Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more." He's telling the disciples he's going away. "But you will see me." Now listen to this. "Because I live, you will live also." Not because you've taken longevity treatments, not because you're going to the doctors or all this stuff, but because he lives, because Jesus lives, you will live also. "In that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you." And as I told the first service, that one sentence right there, we could start and we could go for a month just trying to find out all the stuff that that means. But unfortunately, I don't have the time. Mike, do I have the time? No? Okay. Continuing, verse 21, "Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." The Lord's Supper, as well as this that Jesus is telling the disciples, gives us all of this. He is not going to abandon us. This is one of the things that we really should remember at all times, for it touches the life of everyone here, sometime, somehow, somewhere. Now, the second point, first of all, what? We trust, we can trust. He will be there, he will be present. That's the first part. The second part is on the same topic because Jesus has told the disciples in that context that he's going away, but not. Huh? How can that be? How do we do that? In verse 22, Judas, not a Judas Iscariot, but the other Judas, voices that cry, he said, "But how?" People often ask, how? How shall we act? How can we continue? The disciples wondered, how will you show yourself to us? The disciples originally and then us here later on. How can we see it when all the world can't? How are we to act How are we to live if Jesus is gone, but not gone? What can give us confidence and strengthen our lives? Now that is a question that resonates with us here today, as well as the disciples 2,000 and more years ago. So if we're going to answer it, if we're going to explore it, if we're going to make it part of our own lives, what do we need to learn? What do we need to remember? How can we do it? How? We seem beset on all sides. Oh, the demands of life may not seem to threaten our lives or even our faith. But I'll tell you this, the demands of life sure do threaten our focus. What's most important for you in the moment, in any moment? And what do you allow to be your center? And does it show? Jesus tells the disciples and us, John 14:23. I'm reading from the English Standard Version, by the way. Jesus answered him, "If anyone loves me," and we do, I hope, "he will keep my word." Now, I want you to stop there for a minute, but keep your place. Don't close your Bibles. Put your finger on it or electronically mark it or whatever you do, because there's something here. Look, he will keep my word. Not a laundry list of do's and don'ts. Not a list of rules and regulations designed to keep you in control or to put you down or anything. Not what the world expects either. Because Jesus says, he will keep my word. Jesus' word. God's word. Love God. Love others. You recognize that? Love God. Love others. You ought to see it every day, or every Sunday at least. Most of you, I hope, know where that comes from. I think you get a hint by the other words that are up there. It's called the Great Commandment. It's in Matthew 22. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Good participation. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. You've learned. Very good. But that's an important point. Keep that. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. So if we keep his word, and here's where we'll pick that verse up again. My Father will love him and will come to him and, listen, make our home with him. We love him, we keep his commandments, and Jesus says he will come and they, the Trinity, will make their home in us, in you, in me. So how can we trust? How can we be confident of Jesus' presence? Well, Christianity is a faith based squarely in history. It has a revelation, confessions, moral standards, missionary activities, corporate worship like we're doing right now. And I'm quoting from D.A. Carson in his commentary now. But as essential as these are, one further theme must not be overlooked. Christianity is the means whereby a man may know God and whereby God may come and make his home in a man. The thought of it is overwhelming. Yet this is the heritage of every true believer. We are reminded that when things are rough or confused, we are to live and act in the love of God, the love of Jesus. I can't tell you all the details of what you're going to need to do or what you will do. That's something that God will make known to you when you need to know it. You say, well, how is he going to make it known to me? John 14:26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and will bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Remembrance. There's that word again. Through all the trials and tribulations of life, he gave us an anchor, something, no, someone who will hold strong through everything, because Jesus is alive. And we remember that the anchor that holds is based in God. It's based in his love, because ours just isn't strong enough. Nor is the love we find in the world, or what passes for love in this world. But real love, his love, love that we try the best to reflect in how we live and relate to others. He's not making it easy for us. We will still face problems. We will still face darknesses that we can't imagine in advance. Yet even in the face of such darkness, even in the face of death itself, we can remember that he loves us and he gave himself for us. So a question for you all to consider: what are we to remember? Why and how can we endure in this crazy world that we live in? How does this trust, this presence of God in our lives and we in him, affect us? What and who should be central on our lives? Well, there's one verse that really addresses this. It's from 1 John, not the Gospel of John, but 1 John, chapter 4, verse 19. It's something that you have probably heard before. We live also. We are always in his presence, but we love because, and here it comes, he first loved us. We live, we love, because he first loved us. But then we ask why. We need to remember that Jesus tells us why. Why we can endure this life that sometimes and maybe often throws all sorts of problems and curves at us. Jesus expresses that why. John 14, verse 27. He says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you." Now hear this as it finishes. "Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." Jesus gives peace that the world cannot duplicate. It can't match. It's a personal serenity, a personal security that's not based on your ability to avoid problems, or even your ability to avoid those situations which might lead to problems. I hate to tell you, but this hard, negative stuff is going to happen anyway. But what Jesus gives us is a faith based in God, based in his work in our lives on the cross, which goes way beyond any trials that life can ever throw at you. You know, so many of the problems in our lives are often those we create for ourselves. They come from our lust for possessions, our desire to be first, our want, our need, our desire to be recognized, to be seen by others as good or great or best. Our love for ourselves is sometimes so strong that it leads us to put down others, or even worse, to really be negative towards those who may not praise us in the way that we think they should. The disciples and people today are not immune to such problems. The disciples stood on the threshold of understanding who Jesus was, who Jesus is, and what he offers. What about us? What about you and me today? Do we understand? Do we need to be reminded a bit? And of what do we need to be reminded? When such negative things as we just spoke about and destructive attitudes are present, there is no real peace. Such attitudes cannot bring peace, for such attitudes are more often, that word that the world doesn't like to use now, they're more often sin. Again, Jesus says in John 14, 27, "My peace I give to you." He also says, "Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." Jesus' peace is the effective counter to the troubled mind and the troubled heart. This is true whether we're worrying over the problems of daily living, the major crises of life that are admittedly infrequent, but often can try to overpower us, or even the pressures that assault us as we try to live as Christians day by day in a world that's getting more and more hostile. Trust in God. Trust also in me. My peace I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Why not? We'll live in Jesus' peace and find out. As we live our lives, we constantly need to be reminded of this because we get overwhelmed. The Lord's Supper, the scriptures, the preaching, the teaching, all these are reminders. It's one thing, it's what we need to remember. To remember what Jesus did for us, and that in this life, especially in the troubled times, we need to keep him as the center. That's one of the biggest messages that we can have in our lives, that the Lord's Supper and others bring to us. There's a little film clip that I want you to watch that will sum all this up. Jeff? There's a picture under all of that. See if you can. Jeff, can we start that again? We've got a picture of the church up there. Sorry, technical problems here. This is more effective. Nope. Good picture right there. The whole point of what you're going to see, hopefully, and what we're talking about is we need to live our lives keeping God as the center of all that we do. And we mean that as all that we do. We live from day to day with all sorts of stuff coming at us. Work, school, job pressures, friends. We don't always know what it's all going to be. But if we don't have a center, we don't have something that will keep us going, will move us in the right direction, it's all just stuff. Thank you. stronger than the power of death, just in case you can't read it. Let's pray. Lord, we have a real simple request for you today. Help us to put your power and you in the center of our lives. It may be simple, but it's not necessarily easy, so we really need your strength, your guidance, and your direction. Help us, Lord, through our daily lives, not just on Sunday, to put you at the center. In Jesus' name, amen. This is a time for you, for all of you who sit here. If you have been touched by God, if your heart is open and you wish to receive him, to say to someone, I want God as the center of my life, to receive Jesus Christ, come share with these good men at the front here. If you have something that's touched your life that you need to share, hopes, fears, dreams, questions, they are here for you. So this time is for you. We invite you to come stand.
Amazing.